Hi everyone and welcome to this episode of the Privacy Impact Shop. My name is Sharp and...
I'm Ben Stevens.
Ben, what's been happening? I know you've been travelling a lot recently. You've been over to the States. What was that like?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, had a really good... I spent a week over there visiting a number of clients, had an event. It quite seems like ages ago now, but there's a lot been happening. But yeah, overall, really good. And a lot since. There's a lot of activity that's been happening. So how about you?
Well, yeah, traveling. Both sound like we're sort of doing a tourist sort of road trip thing here. So over to Germany, Netherlands. Obviously, we've got a presence in Ireland, so doing a lot over in down in Dublin and Limerick at the moment. So, yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, good.
And a lot going on in the world of data protection and privacy, especially in the States as well. So before we start talking a little bit about what's happening, shall we say, more locally in Europe, let's talk about what's going on in the States. I don't know if it came up in any of your conversations, but I know that, you know, we've obviously saw some time ago now with the CCPA in California, and there's a lot of noise around that because it was the first sort of comprehensive state data protection law, seeing it roll out to New York, New Jersey, and other states as well are bringing out comprehensive laws similar to GDPR in a way. Did that come up in any of the conversations you were having out there?
Yeah, I mean, it comes up all the time. I think, you know, there's a lot of, I'd say, quite a lot of confusion around, well, you know, if we're if we're operating as an organization in, you know, lots of different jurisdictions or, you know, lots of different places and parts of the world, then, you know, what benchmark should we aim for? You know, what is the standard? So that's quite a common question. You know, and we're in a very well-connected world these days. Or a lot of our customers are very much, you know, have a global presence.
That is a almost perfect segue into what I want to talk about now from two different perspectives, and that is social media and how we're using social media to get our messages across, and lots of our clients are using social media. So you're the money man. And by that, I don't mean you're getting lunch later. That'd be great.
We're having lunch, are we?
Yes. Why are we here? And but more importantly, what, you know, social media means as a route to market for organisations. Mm. And it's huge. Digital marketing, absolutely a, you know, crucial part of most businesses' go-to-market planning now. So... before I sort of want to sort of ask you about what our clients and what your clients and our clients are doing about, you know, social media strategies, what they're considering, marketing departments, I kind of wanted to bring up a sort of elephant in the room. So this is going out on LinkedIn. Yeah. However, LinkedIn have just... back in October from the DPC, received a fine of €310 million for not being fair and transparent and not having lawful grounds for using behavioural-based marketing and advertising. First of all, what is your view, would you say, maybe from personally and from a client's perspective, about using a platform to get a message across which has fallen foul of data protection regulations?
Yeah, it's ironic.
Do as I do, not do as I say. It's, you know, where do we go with that one?
It is ironic. And yeah, I mean, you know, an observation I see, an observation that I, you know, frequently see is I see lots of privacy professionals talking on LinkedIn about how much they hate LinkedIn for privacy reasons. And I don't really comment or contribute too much to that. I mean,
you should.
Well, I don't, yeah, it's easy to get drawn in, but I refrain.
There's nothing like a pointless argument.
But even that makes me think, and it's similar to kind of what we're talking about here, really, isn't
sure.
it? It's, you know, there aren't many alternatives as powerful as LinkedIn. So for business purposes, whether you're kind of presenting yourself or on behalf of your, you know, the company that you work for, as I do. You know, I use LinkedIn to promote Blackfoot and GDPI e-services and offerings. So yeah, I think, you know, we would struggle without it.
Yes.
But at the same time, you have to kind of strike a bit of a fair balance around, you know, what they're doing as a platform, rightly, wrongly, unlawfully, lawfully, whatever.
Yeah.
And where you sit with that. So there's kind of a moral aspect. And then there is a, you know, the aspect of whether it's lawful and whether you kind of want to engage in that or be part of that.
Yes. I mean, this is where... this is where my mind was going on this. So if you think of sort of a traditional sponsorship, you know, relationship where you've got organizations that want to be associated with a brand because it's, you know, in line with what they want to do, and you want to, you know, you're going to pay some money to be associated with them, whoever, well, whatever brand that is. If you're sort of saying, well, look, and this, I know this is, you know, in our world, it's about data protection, and we're talking about, you know, regulatory requirements. We're talking about what it means to individuals as well. And then we're saying, well, we're now associated with a brand that's fallen foul on that. Now, for one moment, I don't think that suddenly LinkedIn is going to be a pariah of, you know, the social media world. I mean, we have some sort of other social media channels that you can see people moving off them, perhaps because some of the content is a little bit, how can I put it, prickly. Yeah. Let's be kind and say prickly. I don't think that's going to happen to LinkedIn, but do you think that certain brands that, you know, are there talking about the virtues of data protection and the importance of it, you know, are LinkedIn going to turn around and go, look, you know, we've been fined. It was on three different counts. We've got an amount to pay. We've got some undertakings where we need to, you know, fix our processes. Do you think they're going to make a lot of noise about that and sort of try and move from going, oh, we've got a slap on the wrist, hopefully no one will notice too much, and it'd just be yesterday's newspaper? Or do you think they might, you know, grab the bull by the horns here and go, do you know what? We're going to move to stewardship, and we're going to really take control of this and turn it round. What would you do?
Well, yeah, good question. I think in terms of what I think they will do is, yeah, you know, as much as possible, probably brush it under the carpet and try and move on from it. Their whole business model is centered around advertising, you know, data. So to change that, and we've seen this with, you know, the likes of Facebook, it's not, you know, it's their whole business model centered around this. So trying to find a ethical and lawful way of operating, and it might be that they're just, that whole business model just doesn't work.
Wow. Okay.
And that, you know, that then moves us on to other types of social media, and other platforms are doing things in different ways.
Sure.
And not relying so heavily on, you know, funding these their revenues through advertising so much, I guess.
Okay. Well, look, I thought it was an interesting sort of piece, really, about, you know, using platforms that perhaps, you know, haven't, you know, met the requirements. We'll move on, because LinkedIn, don't ban us for bringing this up, please. We do still love you, and I'm sure everything's going to be great.
I've got a stat for you. Do you know what percentage of applications, mobile applications, use personal data for commercial gain? Bear in mind, all of the apps out there are obviously a whole raft of different functions and purposes.
Okay, are you... Right, so I'm trying to buy time here, everyone, because I don't know the answer. Yeah, let me ask a few more questions.
Let me just add that this is purely around either serving their own ads or third-party ads. And don't look at my paper, because the answer's on
well,
there.
Well, you know my eyesight. You know my eyesight's dreadful.
I'll leave it in the middle.
Yeah. Prompt. Okay. Including public government apps?
All apps.
Ooh. That wasn't helpful, was it? I think it's going to be 85% plus.
Yeah. 80%. Every 4 in 5 are, you know, getting commercial gain through advertising, through applications. So, you know, it's not LinkedIn or obviously up there based on, you know, conversation we've just had in recent events.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the whole app, you know, space industry is driven with you know, advertising and using data for that reason.
Well, what I find interesting, are you talking also about these organizations selling data?
In cases, yeah.
I would have thought
it's
so.
It's commercial gain through advertising, whether they're advertising on their app, yeah, their platform for their services, or whether it's third-party advertising.
Okay.
So it will include selling data, yeah, undoubtedly. There, you know, there are lots of companies that are doing that.
So this is what I find interesting. Two things here. One is that if we look at the California Data Protection Act, that is based around consumers. So, you know, the US data protection laws and regulations start from a consumer base, so a consumer-based data protection laws and requirements. And one of the big things there, one of the requirements on that is that it's don't sell my data.
Yeah.
So all organizations must have a toll-free number and clearly display don't sell my data. And if somebody says don't sell my data, there should be no discrimination in that. What I mean by that is they don't have a reduced service, they don't have to pay extra for what they're already paying. So in the US, maybe it's a more honest sort of approach to the commercialization of individuals' data, because obviously with that statistic there, it's huge globally.
Mm. Yep.
You know, so, you know, perhaps that's, you know, something we will make. Well, another, it's almost like you've planned this, Ben, because we're going now straight into another another fantastic topic, but not for this particular one, but we will be bringing on a guest speaker. So, you know, we will have other individuals joining us. And someone that is going to be joining us is a very well-known data protection lawyer. And I will be asking him, and we're going to be discussing, amongst other things, data portability.
Yeah.
And data portability is a way in which individuals can start to commercialize their data. So that sort of feeds into that. I won't take any more about, you know, that right now. But it's certainly something that I think is interesting. Please don't tell me you've got any other facts there that you're going to quiz me on. Like who won the 1946 FA Cup or something?
How do you know I was going to ask that?
Because you knew I wouldn't know the answer.
So let's move on. And by the way, we've got a slightly smaller room than last
yes,
time.
Yes, yeah, that hasn't helped.
That is the elephant in the room. But
what, me? That's rude.
Right, 2025.
Yes.
What's the outlook? We've actually been talking, maybe off camera, off recording, about our plans for 2025 and
sure,
what we think's happening or will be happening with that in the market, with the industry, within our client base, perhaps, you know, our non-customers as well.
Yeah.
So we've had lots of conversations around that. AI obviously pops up constantly.
Yes.
We've definitely seen a shift with, you know, the work that we've been getting involved with, the queries, the questions, the support around AI. It was definitely, yep, you know, a year or so ago, it was very much like, you know, we're worried, we're concerned that our staff are using AI and putting data into it. But now we seem to have, you know, the shift is now around, we're now as a business, as a corporate and as an entity, we want to use AI. How do we bring that in? And how do we do that with, you know, the right level of governance? How do we do that so it benefits the business? How do we do it so we get a return on investment? And there's a whole raft of, you know, things that we're seeing coming through, you know, to us that I think we could probably talk about, some of which, you know, in this forum today.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have a sort of written blog coming out, which is going to go into a lot of detail around, you know, it's always difficult to say, you know, well, I was going to say predictions when we're talking about AI, and AI is all about predictions. But OK, you know, to predict exactly what's going to happen in 2025. But I think from what we're seeing, organisations tend to be looking now for a lot of focus around expertise around data governance. So, and this is because we're seeing organisations looking to try and unify applications. They're looking to bring data into a, you know, a central sort of data lake, which isn't necessarily new, but, you know, bringing in, you know, applications and using that data with sort of, you know, low code AI modeling to get, you know, better predictions out of that. So there's two things we're seeing there. One is there's a requirement for expertise around data governance. And when you're talking AI, you know, there are various issues that will come up in that, you know, intellectual property rights, bias, accountability. We've got the new AI Act coming out. You know, that's agreed. That's, you know, just now coming into force. You know, we're waiting for that to actually land, what that's going to mean. So I think what we're going to see, and I'm going to say that I would, you know, from a privacy perspective, one of the bigger concerns will be about how AI, the data, we might start to see attacks on poisoning training and data that's being used. So obviously this falls into, you know, information security requirements and things like that. And we've always been concerned about the quality and integrity of data. You know, that's a core principle of data protection. In any case, we see that in, you know, accuracy runs across OECD guidelines. It's, you know, accuracy requirements in lots of laws and regulations. It's kind of one of those things that is a thread. However, if we're going to start to see, you know, bad actors, although I'm not an information security expert, so I don't know about attack vectors, you know, to the degree that some would. But I think the attack is going to be on the actual integrity and poisoning data. So AI results will be inaccurate. So I could see that starting to come on the radar for 2025. I would say we're probably also going to see a bigger market concern around data protection and individuals' concerns around privacy. So it's always been there, and organisations tend to act because A, there's a regulation which they need to comply with, or market forces drive it. And I just feel that individuals' concern, there's already a lot of mistrust around what AI does. A lot of that's probably driven by a lack of understanding about how AI is there to help inform experts in their decision making. But if there is that misunderstanding, it will lead to a higher degree of mistrust in these systems. So I would imagine organizations are going to have to be able to demonstrate much more in a sort of robust fashion their accountability requirements. That's kind of what I think will be coming along.
Yeah, and I think there's already a degree of mistrust with consumers and businesses,
yeah,
you know, without AI, you know, yeah, take that out of it for the moment, just around information security, data protection. You know, why have you got all this data? What are you using it for? You know, there's lots of stats out there. I won't test you on those, but
please.
Lots of stats out there, you know, and you can read into them how you want, but around consumer trust and the fact that, you know, I think a lot of consumers are starting to feel and think of and being careful with who they deal with.
Sure.
For those reasons, as well as a whole raft of other things way outside of what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, as I say, we will be putting out what we think 2025 is going to look like. We'll put that out on our good friends LinkedIn and other platforms, which hopefully we haven't upset too much.
Maybe our own website, yeah, which we've got a bit more control over.
So we will be putting that out. But I think those are two, you know, short snippets of things that are going to happen. And yeah, if I'm completely wrong, we'll obviously take this down or edit it in some way and change that. Maybe with AI, who knows?
With you've been doing a lot of delivering a lot of certified training recently. Are you seeing, and I know you get a whole range of different, you know, delegates and trainees come through, are they bringing up certain questions? And I know the courses most recently are kind of not core to AI, but are they bringing questions up through the training that you're delivering in those traditional privacy?
100%. So what's happened is people used to be coming on certified training courses, and the driver was they were from legal, they were from information security, and those were the two main areas. Raft, yeah, it could be from vendors, could be from operations, you know, marketing. So lots of backgrounds that want to get certified to demonstrate and understand data protection requirements, how to build and establish a data protection program. Absolutely. Certainly over the last 6 months, and I would say actually even the course content from certified training vendors is now incorporating AI considerations, as well as there is a lot of bespoke AI courses as well. Obviously, I live in the world of data protection and privacy, so that's kind of where the focus is on those courses. But the delegates are very much going, I'm looking at AI, either in developing or deploying those systems and tooling. And what I'm interested in is where privacy sits within that, where data protection sits within that. Because it's, although we've got a regulation and we're getting more regulations, there's, it's a bit like GDPR when it was first coming out. A lot, you know, there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of misunderstanding. So getting a good basis or building blocks will allow you to actually adapt much quicker to requirements once it lands.
Yeah.
So it's about understanding where data protection and security and intellectual property rights and all of those other components fit within that. So if you've got those certifications, if you can demonstrate that you've got a strong understanding, it will allow you to start preparing. Honestly, I think as soon as these regulations actually land, we'll probably see some shift to the left and shift to the right. Mm. But definitely delegates 100% Ben are saying, what about AI? Where does it fit within this? I'm doing this certification not because I mean still because they want to get into data protection. That's, you know, certainly an industry and sector that's getting larger.
Yeah.
But also I want to be, have those skill set because I want to feed them and bring them into what I'll be doing around AI. Risk as well, understanding risk.
Yeah.
Is a big part.
Yeah, risk is an interesting one. You know, I've said it before. I have lots of conversations with lots of organisations, and a lot of them go, "Oh yeah, we don't do risk." And I think, well,
really?
You know, yeah, yeah, they do say that. So, you know, what they really mean by that, I mean, you know, it could mean different things, but
sure.
I think it's like formal risk management, the understanding of, you know, risk appetite, risk tolerance, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Just not defined, definitely not documented. And when you kind of start to talk about that, I mean, every person, every organization does, you know, think about risk, and you know, you can't cross the road without thinking about risk.
Absolutely.
Subconsciously.
Yeah.
So I think everyone's doing it, but the definition and what they really mean by risk management, I think in some organisations they've got a long way to go with it.
I couldn't agree more, because understanding risk and being able to manage risk effectively isn't just about avoiding, it's about being able to take advantages commercially of certain situations.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So look, We do have a guest joining us on the next episode. I don't want to steal that thunder and talk about what we're going to be, you know, going into depth on those sessions.
No, it just means you've got to tune in for the next episode.
Absolutely. And a big bonus on that, we don't charge for this. I know it's unbelievable, but we don't.
So should we wrap up? I think, yeah, I think always so. A pleasure, Sharp. Thank you very much.
So don't forget to join us on our next episode, where we're going to be talking about a variety of topics and have an expert from the legal profession with us. If you do have any topics you want to bring up, or you think you're interesting enough to be part of this, let us know.
Yeah, do reach out. I mean, we are open to bringing guests on. So if you're in the world of data protection, data privacy, and yeah, get in touch and we'd love to have you on, potentially.
Yeah, that wasn't okay. Yeah. Did you notice how, because suddenly Ben got a little bit nervous.
I just saw you staring at me like quite intensely.
Oh, sorry. No,
that's like an open offer.
That's just me. I have that sort of face. Don't forget, you can find out more about both of us on LinkedIn. We are there. So feel free to send us any direct messages or connect. It'd be great to meet new people in the world of data protection, risk, information security, direct marketing. Anything where there is a crossover would be great.
So this has been the Privacy Impact Shop with myself, Ben Stevens, and my colleague and good friend, Shahb Al-Baghdadi. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
See ya.